Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
John Yarmuth represents the 3rd District in Kentucky in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's also chairman of the Budget Committee. Welcome back, Congressman.
Thank you, Terry. Good to be with you.
It's always good to talk with you. We talk about issues, usually, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But there's an election next week. And I had your opponent on a few days ago, so I'm going to ask you the same thing. Since she was talking about law and order over and over again, what is your takeaway with the phrase law and order? How does that play through your brain and the way you enact policy?
Well, I think in the current environment, the way that's being used is kind of a provocative expression that tries to scare people. We in Louisville, we have our problems. We have almost a record amount, if not a record amount, of homicides this year, and that's a problem. But we had a couple of days of riots back in May. Since then, our protests have been very peaceful. There haven't really been any incidents to speak of, and so I think it's just to scare people, and in her case, to kind of echo the position. One of the attacks that cases that Donald Trump's trying to make. That's always a pretty standard technique. If you've got somebody at the top of your ticket, reinforce his or her message.
I see. But you mentioned the homicide rate. Obviously, that is frightening and horrible for Louisville and the other cities across America that are experiencing that. Yesterday in Philadelphia, police shoot an armed black man who's got a knife. They're shouting for him to put down the knife. They shoot him. And so you saw what happened last night. And now we're hearing about troops that are perhaps being located to various cities in preparation for potential riots after the election. So we are in a riotous frame of mind in America, and I'm just wondering when things calm down. Does it rely upon the outcome? And what does that say about each side if only one outcome creates riots in people's minds? That's what they're thinking anyway.
Yeah, well, this is such an unusual situation, a period in our history. I kind of think back to 1968. I know a lot of the audience wasn't around then, but we had somewhat similar situation. We had civil rights demonstrations throughout the country. We also had the Vietnam War, which exacerbated all of those things. But we've had a relatively calm couple of decades before now, and again, I think you can look at the news and see these isolated incidents, but there's not carnage in our streets in the United States, and I think one of the things we've had is, again, at the top leadership levels of our country, we have had people who have we've had one person, Donald Trump, who has continued to kind of provoke people into this notion that violence is an answer or an acceptable response to dissatisfaction with what's going on. And we're seeing it with militia in various places in the country, and these people who are showing up at polls in order to scare people. And that's just something that we've got to get through. Hopefully after this election, we will get through it one way or another, that reliance on violence or this tendency toward violence, at least talking, they talk a good game. It's not always, they don't always carry it out, but we get rid of this. It's heartbreaking to see citizens against, yelling at citizens in American streets. We're all part of the same country, supposedly, and we have to find a better way to to resolve this, to resolve our differences. And again, we are a divided nation right now. We've got to make sure it doesn't end up in violence to the best we can. But there are scary times. But talking about that is talking about law and order as if there's some national pandemic of violence is I think wrong as well.
A lot of the comments I read online today, they'll say in this case in Philadelphia, it's a guy with a weapon, and they're going at police, and a lot of people can't understand why there is rioting after someone with a weapon goes at police. It's like, hello, you know, that seems like basic human knowledge to not do that.
Well, except, you know, that supposedly, you know, this guy was mentally ill. There was a woman there trying to help him. There was another case, apparently, I don't know if it was yesterday, but relatively recent, in which a white man with a knife was treated very differently. So, you know, these things happen in context that sometimes become very disturbing. And,
right.
Again, I don't know for sure whether he was mentally ill, but you know, police should be trained to recognize behavior that is abnormal and not just threatening.
I know as a Democrat, you're very disappointed in the addition of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. Last night, two of your colleagues, that would be Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, immediately tweeted, "Let's pack the courts." So I'm going to ask you about that situation. Let's say the Democrats do win across the board, the White House, mm-hmm. and take the Senate, and you maintain the hold in the House of Representatives. Where are you on adding more justices to the U.S. Supreme Court?
I'd certainly be willing to consider it. I'm actually probably leaning towards supporting that. You know, just within the last few years, Republican legislatures in both Arizona and Georgia expanded their courts to deal with a similar situation. So it's not unusual. The court has been has changed size numerous times in the history of the country. And, you know, I think one of the things about expanding the court, if you went to, say, 15 members, it would be that then every vacancy doesn't become this kind of scorched earth partisan political event. And so I think if you expanded the court, you would depoliticize it. There are a number of proposals from bipartisan groups to expand the court, to have five Republicans, five Democrats, and then five appointed by a neutral a body. You know, to me, that's probably not the way to approach it, because then you've automatically said that two-thirds of the court is political. But I think there are reasons that really involve good government that would warrant expanding the court. You could hear more cases, because then you could create three judge panels as they do in the appellate courts. And again, you know, I think Joe Biden's position is very sound to appoint a commission to consider reforming of the court. Right now, it's clear that the system as it's set up, with the Senate being disproportionately representative of small states who have much greater power than their population would warrant, and they're the ones controlling who gets confirmed and who doesn't, it's not a very democratic system, and I think it needs to be looked at.
Right, and other people have pointed that out, too. The size of the court has varied throughout the course of American history.
Yeah.
The Electoral College, though, has been a lock in its current configuration. A lot of people on the liberal side are saying, let's get rid of that, too. So where do you weigh in on that concept?
Well, I would love to get rid of the Electoral College, but it's impossible to do because it's in the Constitution, and there's no way you could ever pass a constitutional amendment to abolish the Electoral College, simply because all of those small states who are disproportionately represented would vote against it. So you'd never get three quarters of the states to approve it. I think there are other ways to approach the problems with the Electoral College, one of which would be to have every state allocate its electoral votes by congressional district. That's what Nebraska does. That's what Maine does. And that doesn't require a constitutional convention. That is just every state acting that way. So, you know, in Kentucky, there would be two at-large representing the senators, the two at-large votes, and then each congressional district would have an elector. And so, and one thing that would do would actually, in Kentucky's case, it would bring candidates to our state. Because right now, candidates don't think they need to come to our state because the votes are going to go to the Republican nominee. This way, at least people would come to Louisville and maybe Lexington and they'd campaign. And I think that would be healthier, not just for Kentucky, but across the country.
Because right now, a lot of people
campaign in 11 states.
Right. I think a lot of people also see the big cities as the people who would have all the power, like bullies on a schoolyard. They would, everybody pays taxes, and the biggest places, if it's just popular vote only, would take all the money, I think, as people are fearful of that, and that the Electoral College spreads the icing across the cake.
Yeah, I don't think that direct election nationwide would be the answer. I just can imagine all the lawsuits and the recounts and so forth, you know, in many cases. I just think that would be a real logistical nightmare. I understand the simplicity of it, but I'm not sure that would work. And again, the Electoral College is here. It's in the Constitution. We can't change it without a constitutional amendment. We can't get that. So we ought to look at other ways to minimize the inequities that exist in the Electoral College.
Talking with Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth. Let's say it is a blue sweep. What other projects do you think liberals would be more interested in, Democrats would be more interested in advancing come 2021 and beyond?
Well, I think over the next couple of years, most of the initiatives that we would work on would be direct responses to the current situation. I think, you know, there'd be more COVID relief, stimulus, and infrastructure ban. I mean, an infrastructure bill, there would be, I think we'd go to a $15 national minimum wage, trying to in some way narrow the wealth and income disparities gap that exists in the country right now. So I don't think these are things that are radical. You know, raising the minimum wage, I was on a call today where Charter Communication, which owns Spectrum, which is our cable system here, they, as many companies are doing, they've not only gone to a $15 minimum wage, they're, by 2022, everybody there is going to make $20 an hour. So, you know, a lot of companies are doing this, and what that proves to me is that that most businesses can afford to pay their employees significantly more. And to have a $7.25 federal minimum wage when virtually no one makes that. I mean, in the labor market, normally you can't get anybody to work for $7.25, but still, it sends the wrong kind of signal, and it would lift, if we went to $15 national minimum wage, it would lift millions of people out of poverty, and it would eliminate the need for a lot of other federal programs that we have, like the Earned Income Tax Credit and food stamps and other things, which are basically right now taxpayer subsidies to the companies that don't pay their employee a living wage. So I think those are the things that a Democratic government would focus on very, very, almost exclusively over the next few years.
Last thing, George Bush the Elder famously stepped in a cow pie when he said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." Joe Biden is saying no one who makes less than $400,000 a year is going to see an increase in their taxes. Is it possible that President Joe Biden could hold to that promise?
Oh, I think so. And, you know, and I think that would be something that would be fully in line with the Democratic majority if we had the majority of both the House and Senate. You know, I think not many people think of $200,000 a year as middle class, and there would probably be some people who'd say, "Well, we can go with a lower threshold than $400,000." But again, I think that's something that is not only doable, could be gotten through a Democratic Congress, but also is something that needs to be done.
Congressman Yarmuth, good luck to you and great talking again. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Terry.
All right, Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.